Hi, Dan Sheridan here, telling the story of American government. You know, the best way to preserve a nation is from the bottom up, not the top down. This is lesson 14 in our series, and we're going to be talking about the origin of the county. We might subtitle this lesson, "The Nation is the Creation of Townships and Counties, Not the Other Way Around." All right, let's get started. Okay, as I've said, in this lesson, we're going to be talking about the county. This is the first lesson in this portion of our course. And we're going to begin by discussing its historical origins. Where did the counties come from? The first question we might ask is, why do we have counties? And it can be easily answered by simply saying that it's convenient. The administration of a country or kingdom has proved to be easier when it's divided up into areas larger than townships. However, convenience isn't the historical basis for county divisions. Plus, remember this, the larger kingdoms or states are products of the smaller divisions, like townships and counties, not the other way around. The historical reason we have counties is simply this, because our ancestors did. And here's how they came about. When clans found permanent spots to settle down, that's when townships were established. And those early clans were united by a larger tribe. And tribes are made up of a bunch of clans or family groups. The ancient English conquered Britain and settled as clans and tribes. The clans became the townships, and the tribes became the shires or counties. The names were first applied to the people, and then later to the land they occupied. Some of the oldest county names in England bear this out. For instance, Essex was originally East Saxons, Middlesex was Middle Saxons, and Sussex was South Saxons. Now let's make this illustration even more homely. There's a place in England called Icklingham. Interesting name, right? Icklingham. It's in the county of Suffolk. Now, Icklingham was once the home of the Icklings, or the children of Ickle. They were a clan which was part of the Southfolk tribe. So that's why we have Icklingham in the county of Suffolk. Now, in those days, there was no such thing as a Kingdom of England. It was a bunch of tribes living side by side. Each tribe had its leader called an elderman. Over time, if the tribe grew more powerful, the elderman took the title of king. Now, these many kingdoms sometimes composed of two or more shires. So that is what it was like over there for a long time until finally, one day, the King of West Saxons became the king of all England. And then all those shires were subordinates of the kingdom, but all these shires now were united in one kingdom. And thus we see that the English shires are older than the nation. The shires weren't made by dividing the nation, but the nation was made by uniting the shires. And that's how it is in America. Our states grew out of numerous townships, and our national union grew out of independent states which united because of common interests. Now, after England united under one king, the shires still retained much of their self-government. So too, the American Union. Now, in our next lesson, we're going to talk about the government of the English shires and how some of those principles were continued in America. They were carried over to our shores from our English forefathers. All right, that's all I have time for in this lesson. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. I really hope you learned something. Until our next lesson, remember this. Be good to one another because we're in this together.